In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you. We Will Serve the Lord tour continues to move throughout the eastern part of the United States. We are now in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, at the National Shrine of Divine Mercy. My first time here, although some people didn't believe me. They said, "You've been there before. We saw you singing the chaplet." And I have to explain to them for the 50,000th time, that is not me singing the chaplet of Divine Mercy on EWTN. I have 9 television series on the network. I do Beacon of Truth every day. I've been on almost all of the live shows in EWTN. But that is the guy who sings the chaplet is Michael. He lives in Florida. He's not Catholic. He's a Protestant. But he loves the Divine Mercy. And that is him singing, not me. So this is my very first time here at the Shrine. We're having a wonderful time here. Unfortunately, Father Chris Alar is on pilgrimage and is not here. And my other great buddy, Father Donald Calloway, is not here. He's also traveling as well. But I want to thank them, especially Father Chris as being provincial. For the Marians here, and thank you so much. I want to thank Father Matthew Tomney, the Shrine Rector. In fact, I met him before when he was serving at a parish in Sominock, Illinois. I was in that town for a parish mission. Another church and went and deacon at Mass when he was a newly ordained priest. So now he's director of the Shrine here. So it was good to see a familiar face again. He told me at lunch today that he's actually going to serve in the Archdiocese of the military next year as a military chaplain for the Navy. You know, so you know, I want to encourage the men out there who maybe have a calling to the priesthood. You know, to consider serving in the Archdiocese of the military. There's definitely not enough priests there, that's for sure. So thank you, Father, and also want to thank Jacqueline Kennedy. Jackie, who helped coordinate everything here, our visit here. The guys are having a great time. We were in Boston last night, so some of these guys had clam chowder and lobster rolls for the very first time. So I figured you can't come to New England without those two staples. And so we had a blast. We drove here today. And we're ready to speak tonight. If you're in the area, come by and see us. Again, it's a free event. We're speaking in the church, in the Shrine Church here in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Again, I would love to have you come and see us. Again, National Shrine of Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, 6:30 to 8:30 tonight, right? 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. So come and see us. Would love to meet you, especially all of our EWTN family who I've been meeting at all the places that we've been to so far. And, you know, the feedback we've been getting has been tremendous. In fact, the pastor at the last church we were at in Roanoke, Virginia, said, "Man, the bishop should have been here. We should have had 1,000 people here. The message was amazing." I said, "I told you." You know, we're just having, I mean, I've heard these talks now a bunch of times during this tour, and I never get tired of them. I'm pulling something new every time I hear them. And it's been such a great joy to be with these guys. These are become like almost like family to me now. And we've been having an amazing time helping to spread the message of God's love, God's incredible, merciful love in the midst of all the hatred and confusion and vitriol and anger in our culture. You know, we're bringing the joy of the Lord through this speaking tour. So please join us. A couple of days from now, we're going to be at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology in Steubenville. And I mention that because I am proud to say that through the St. Paul Center, specifically through the Emmaus Academy, which is they have a series of classes there that help people learn and grow in their faith. I have a class on evangelization that just launched. So if you go to the St. Paul Center on the Emmaus Academy, you will see my course called Evangelizing with Scripture. And we recorded it last year. It just came out a couple weeks ago. And so I want to direct your attention there. There's some amazing classes there where so many people learn to fall more deeply in love with Jesus by connecting the mind, right, intellectual formation, faith formation, with the heart, with prayer, with connecting our heart more closely to God's most God's sacred heart, Jesus' sacred heart. So incredible opportunities there. So again, go to the St. Paul Center on the Emmaus Academy. Look for my course, Evangelizing with Scripture. And in fact, sign up and take advantage of all those courses there if you really want to grow more deeply in love with Jesus and our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And today, of course, is October 1st. That means it's the feast of Saint Therese of Lisieux, one of the most beloved saints of the 20th century. I mean, think of the saints who are most revered in the last century. You have Saint John Paul II. You have Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You have Padre Pio. And Saint Therese of Lisieux, amongst many others, but Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, an incredible young woman, the youngest doctor of the church, it's the 36 doctors of the church now. She's definitely the youngest one. Died in her early 20s. Loved the Lord with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. Her biography is one of the most well-read biographies of saints that's out there. She's given so many people hope and joy. And we're going to be visiting her. We're going to be on pilgrimage next year. And on this particular pilgrimage, Father John Paul, one of the Franciscan friars, Father John Paul is going to be with us. And we're going to be visiting Therese Lisieux and her family, because her parents are also saints. Imagine, wow, what an awesome family to grow up in, right? My dad's a professional baseball player. My mom's a math teacher. My mom's a saint. Hello. Come with us on pilgrimage, get a chance to visit these amazing places and to really connect with these saints on a much deeper level. There's so much wisdom in this young doctor of the church, this young lady who loved the Lord so much, can inspire so many young people today who are lost and who are confused, who don't know Christ. One of my favorite sayings by her is, holiness consists simply in doing God's will and being just what God wants us to be. I say that, a different form of that, but I say that all the time, that the closer we come to our Catholic faith, the more intimate we fall in love with Jesus, the more we become the person who God created us to be, right? It's so beautiful. When receiving communion very often, there you have the sole remedy. If you want to be cured, Jesus has not put this attraction in your heart for nothing, right? There's a longing and a yearning for truth, who is Jesus Christ, and that he gives himself to us, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Eucharist. That's the answer to the deepest questions of our heart. The longing and desires of our hearts is answered in the Eucharist. So I would encourage you to read Saint Therese of Lisieux's biography, or at least go to churchpop.com and take a fresh look and fun look at news that's shaping the world. Visit EW10.com and click on subscribe to get more information about Church Pop and some sayings from this great saint, Saint Therese of Lisieux. Now, today on the show, we're going to be talking about angels, because we had the guardian angels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, which was on Sunday, but of course we didn't celebrate it on Sunday since it was Sunday, right? And of course the regular Sunday Mass as a solemnity takes precedence over the guardian angels, over the archangels, but tomorrow we celebrate the guardian angels. So I thought, since tomorrow is Wednesday, is it going to be Word of God Wednesday, and I have a special Word of God Wednesday planned for tomorrow, I thought that we can go in between. So between the guardian angels tomorrow and the archangels on Sunday, you know, kind of in between it, we can talk about angels in the life of the church. And of course, as always, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number to call to be with us, talk about your experience with angels, how you maybe pray the guardian angel prayer, 833-288-EWTN. We're talking about angels today on Beacon of Truth. Give us a call. That's 833-288-3986. When we come back, we're going to have one of my favorite parts of the show. We're going to have the Soulful Psalms. Stay tuned on Beacon of Truth.
Yeah. You got the strobes going.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a huge fan of a lot of synth kind of generated music, especially like, because I like real instruments playing and stuff. But, you know, stuff like this, where it's just like putting beats together, just getting people to move and dance. I mean, I think that's absolutely fine.
Yeah,
I like it in that context.
I've got a friend of mine. He's a Christian rapper, and he does a lot of stuff in minor keys like this.
So
you get the minor with the beat. It's like chill bump, and I'm like, man, I don't normally vibe on this, but this is really good.
Well, yeah, I mean, that reminds me of the back in the New Jack Swing era. You know, they used to those kind of synth bass lines.
Sure.
And they add that half step, you know, that kind of minor feel to it. It's just really cool. Teddy Riley and Guy, in his album, did that all the time. Loved it.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson as well.
Absolutely.
On Rhythm Nation.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those minor progressions. Awesome. Awesome stuff.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, we're talking about angels today. You know, as we take this opportunity kind of celebrate the archangels. Which we didn't get a chance to since it fell on a Sunday this year, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And tomorrow, the guardian angels. So we're going to talk about angels today on Beacon of Truth. Maybe you've had an experience with your guardian angel. Maybe you talked to your guardian angel. Maybe you have a question about angels. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also email us, beacon@ewtn.com, and you can also text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. To text your first name, your brief question. Remember, message and data rates may apply.
Of course, Mother Angelica continues to bless us with her viewpoints and her love, and the way she does that is through her book, Keys to the Interior Life. If you are looking for something to add to your daily times of meditation, you can definitely check it out in our religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. Remember, free standard shipping for online $75 or more when you use the code word free at checkout.
All right. Well, it's time to explore the Psalms in this segment of Beacon of Truth that we call the Soulful Psalms. And it's its own podcast. That's right. You can go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com or on the EWTN app or one of your favorite podcast mediums, Spotify or SoundCloud or iTunes, whichever one you like, and listen to the Soulful Psalms. Now, today, we're picking this particular psalm because of our theme today, talking about angels. Now, we looked at the first part of this psalm already, and now we're going to take a look at the second part of this psalm. This is Psalm 91, right? Psalm 91. So this is in book four, Psalms 91-06 are in book four. And like most of these book four psalms, most of these psalms have no prescript. So we don't know who wrote them, except for a couple of them. Of course, we know David wrote Psalms 101 and 103 in this very short book of the Psalms. So we looked at the first nine verses the last time, and now we're going to start with verse 10. Now, in the first part of this psalm that we looked at already, what we emphasized there was when Jesus was in the desert being tempted by Satan, Satan actually quoted part of this psalm to Jesus. He quotes that, the arrogance of Satan, quoting the word of God to the word of God, the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so we want to continue with this psalm. So starting at verse 10, upon you no evil shall, because you have confidence in the Lord, right? That's kind of leading up to this part of the psalm, having complete confidence and trust in the Lord, right? Looking to him for strength, looking to him for refuge, looking for him to right the wrongs that have been done to us, okay? So starting at verse 10, upon you no evil shall fall, no plague approach your tent. Right. So again, because of the confidence that we have in the Lord, no evil upon you, no evil shall fall. Now, there are things that happen to us that are not good. Right. We have people that that take advantage of us. We have people that hurt us. We have people that abuse us. We have people that only want to befriend us or only talk to us when they want something from us. Right, we've all experienced that. So, so yes, there are evil things that happen to us, but they're saying that that's not going to be sustained if we trust the Lord, because bad things happen to good people. Look at Job, right? The readings at Mass for this week have been from Job, and we hear and see the sufferings of Job, right? And no plague approach where you dwell. Right. So, of course, a plague is something that leaves you weak and vulnerable and could even kill you. Right. So he talks about, you know, with trusting in God, we don't have to worry about the power of evil. Even when evil things happen to us, we don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to worry about the power of evil overcoming us. We don't have to worry about a plague that may hurt us or even take our life. For you has he commanded his angels to keep you in all your ways, right? So the Lord has commanded his angels to, and this is one of the verses, right, in the scripture, we talk about the guardian angels, right? So to protect us from the evils, to protect us from the plagues that approach us in our lives, God has commanded his angels to keep us in all our ways, right? And so we're going to talk about the different levels of angels. You know, not all angels are guardian angels. I'm sure that one of the reasons why Satan said non serviam, I will not serve, is because God was using angels to assist mankind, right? To assist humanity, which is didn't make sense to Satan. Well, we're higher than them. Why are you using us as messengers to them? Why are you using us as guardians for them? You know, why are you wasting our time with that, Lord? You know, and he says, I'm not going to serve. And then now we come to verse 12, which is the verse that Satan quotes to Jesus in the desert. Remember, so the second temptation of the desert, because the first temptation is, you know, turn these rocks into stones, right? Turn these stones into bread. And so the second one is he takes him to the parapet of the temple, tells him, throws himself off from the temple. And why, if he's the son of God, because what Satan is trying to see, is this the son of God? Right, because Satan doesn't know everything. Right, he doesn't know fully what God's plan. So he's trying to see: is this the one? Is this that Messiah that everyone's talking about? And so he says, "They shall bear you upon their hands, the guardian angels. Now they shall bear you upon their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Right. So I love that, the way the guardian angels take care of us. And Satan used this line against Jesus. If you are the son of God, throw yourself off, because the angels will protect you. And basically what he's saying, that way I will know that you are truly the son of God. Then I will know who you are. Right. And of course, the Lord just brushes him off. You know, so again, we have nothing to fear when it comes to Satan. Because we know if we stay close to the Lord, stay close to the Eucharist, stay close to the sacraments, pray more deeply in our prayer lives, right, then the Lord will, with the assistance of his angels, guard us and protect us. In fact, it goes on to say in verse 13, on the lion and the viper you will tread, and trample the young lion and the serpent. Right? So we will have power over evil with the assistance of the guardian angels and staying close to the Lord. Verse 14, since he clings to me in love, I will free him. Oh, I love that. Since he clings to me in love, I will free him. Now, I haven't looked it up in the Hebrew, but I'm wondering, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, it says that the man pursues his wife and cleaves to her. Now, the word there in Hebrew in Genesis 2 is dalbak. It doesn't mean to grab onto. It means to pursue as to overtake, right? To pursue as to overtake. I'm wondering what I should have looked it up before. Looked at what the Hebrew word is here for. Since he clings to me in love, I'm wondering if it has that same sense of dalbak, that the Lord pursues us in love, and when we pursue him in return, then that's where our freedom comes from. Our freedom comes from uniting our heart with God's. What St. Therese of Lisieux says, right? When we follow God's will, then we're truly free to become the person who God created us to be. Freedom is not doing whatever we want. True freedom comes from doing what God wants.
Yeah. Well, and also as we look to listen for him, we have to also remember to stop talking. I know I'm guilty of, Lord, I need, and I don't give him room to talk, right? You have to back away and listen so that you can discern the difference between his voice and your own.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's key, because we want to make sure that when we're fulfilling God's will, that's not our will. But you have to make the distinction. But in order to do that, we have to be quiet. That's what St. Therese, in fact, she struggled with adoration. Her mind would wander and she would be thinking about different things. And it's one of those things, like in any relationship, the more you're in a relationship, the more comfortable you get.
Yeah.
The more comfortable you are with the person, the more you feel at home with the person and relaxed and connected. Yep. The same thing with our Lord. That's what our prayer life is like. Sometimes it can be a little, you know, distracting and agitating in the beginning, but the more comfortable we get with the Lord, the more we talk to the Lord, the more we feel our hearts connect with his heart, then I think that's going to help us listen to his voice more than our voice.
Well, and I think you've used this analogy before of the shadow, like when his shadow is watching over us, or the reflection of our shadow onto the things that are around us. Can you retell that abbreviated? I know that kind of ties into that, you know, reflecting Christ.
Yeah, so image and likeness, in Genesis 1:27, it says we're in the image and likeness of God. The word image is salem, a masculine noun, which means a shadow that's the outline or representation of the original. Right?
Yeah.
So if you're standing in your light, you're casting a shadow, but the shadow is not you, right? Mm-hmm. An image is an outline. It's a representation of you. So we're called to reflect God's life in our lives. We're not gods. We're not called to be God, of course. But we're called to reflect. Before the fall, the idea was we reflect God's life. When we think, we're thinking with the mind of God. When we love, we're loving with the heart of God, right? And when we do our God's will, we're in our lives, we're reflecting God's will in our lives as well. That's powerful.
Amen.
When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. I will deliver him and give him glory. So the Lord is saying, here's what I will do for you if you just trust me, if you just love me, if you just turn your life over to me, if your will is connected with my will, right? I will rescue you from distress. I will give you glory. With length of days, I will content him. I will show him my saving power. Right? And for us, that saving power comes in who? In and through Jesus Christ, the power of God and the glory of God. Amen. We're talking about angels today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. Just give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Yeah. That's, I mean, that kind of, I guess what, for like a, that kind of like rapid rim shot kind of sound?
Yeah.
That's so fake.
Oh, sure. But in certain genres, it fits.
Yeah, it does.
No
it
drummer does, wants does. To play that.
Yeah, it does fit, but it just, I don't know, it just sounds so fake. I just, when you're used to hearing what a real rim shot sounds like, and you hear that, I mean, just like, oh, yikes, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, what's the meme where, like, someone posts where I make beats, and then it's like a picture of Neil Peart, and he's like, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, Neil Peart, miss him, man. Yeah,
no
God
kidding.
Rest his soul. God rest his soul. All right, we're talking about angels today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just a reminder, this is the last week of the We Will Serve the Lord Parousia Tour with the three speakers from Australia, Kevin Bailey, Dr. Robert Haddad, and Charbel Raish. We've been touring the East Coast of the United States. We started in Miami. We are now in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and making our way eventually to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, where we'll end up this weekend. But tonight, we're at the Divine Mercy Shrine in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where we'll be speaking from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. You don't want to miss. It's going to be awesome. So come on out and see us again, the Shrine of Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. this evening.
Of course, we want to say congratulations to our EWTN family, especially in Mobile, Alabama. Archangel Radio is celebrating 14 years with us, so we want to give a big shout-out to WNGL if you're listening. Thanks again to Ellen Taylor and her entire team from all your friends here at EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, we already got someone on the phone line. We already got some text questions coming in. So I knew this was going to be a great topic to talk about today. Again, we're talking about angels on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We got a text message here. Mara, I gave out the text message information before, so people do use it. Awesome. Says the text message says, I love the Deacon of Truth. I see what you did there. Where do guardian angels go when someone dies? Do they get assigned another person? That is a great question. All right. So let's go with the basic teaching about the role of particularly about guard. We're going to talk about angels in general, but particularly to focus on this question, guardian angels. Okay. So regarding guardian angels, what does the church teach? A catechism teaches that from infancy to death, so from the time we're conceived until we die, human life is surrounded by our guardian angels' watchful care and intercession, right? So often we forget that we talk about the guardian angels guarding us, but they're also intercessors for us, right? Just like the Blessed Virgin Mary, the saints, you know, they are also intercessors for us. Now, guardian angels, sometimes people name them. You're really not supposed to do that. They already have names that were assigned to them by God. We don't know what those names are, but I'm sure that after we die, we will learn the name of our guardian angel. So it's very clear from the teaching of the church that we enjoy the protection and the vigilance of our guardian angels up to the moment of our death. Okay, but they accompany us on this earthly life, but their actions also extend to the next life as well. All right, so there's some saints of the church that teach some great things about this connection. We have Saint Basil the Great. Teaches that no one can deny that besides each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherding them to do what? To help us, to lead us to life, right? To lead us to life with God forever. And so so after death, right, some of us, well, probably most of us, will be in purgatory, right? So our guardian angels are still with us until we reach the time of salvation. So we are going to be saved in purgatory, of course, because you're in purgatory, you know you're going to heaven. I remember Mother Angelica said she's going to click her heels and jump up and down when she gets to purgatory because she knows she's going to make it to heaven, right? So our guardian angels are with us. We need the assistance of our guardian angels to give our souls, to prepare us for that moment when we present ourselves before God, okay? So they also help us on this earth against the attack of demons and evil in our lives as well. Again, powerful intercessors for us. Okay. Their role extends after death while we're in purgatory, but once we're in heaven, there's no more role for them because their whole goal is to help us to lead us to heaven, not to take our free will to do so. But they're there to help us, to intercede, and to guide us. But once we're in the presence of God, then their job is done. Now, whether they get assigned to someone else or not, I don't think so. I think God, every person is unique. Every person is special. And your guardian angel gets to know you for your whole life. So I think that every person is given and assigned a guardian angel. All right? So we're talking about angels today on Beacon of Truth. The phone number for you to call to be with us is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Shelly calling from Northwest Ohio, listening on Holy Family Radio. Shelly, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thank you so much, Beacon. My question for you is, why do we say Saint Michael the Archangel? He's an archangel, but, you know, we say saint before his name, particularly in the prayer. So why are the archangels saints?
All the angels are saints. So here's what we mean by saint. Saint simply means someone who's in heaven. Okay? So now, the church has a process that leads to the canonization of someone is officially declared a saint by the church. Okay? All that declaration means that we know that person who lived an exemplary, virtuous life on earth, we know that they are in heaven. Right? So they get the official title of saint. But everyone who's in heaven is a saint, all right? So all the angels, of course, they're all saints because we know that they're in heaven and they come from heaven. They serve God in heaven. So yes, they technically are saints. So that's the very simple explanation. You said you had a second question, Shelly?
Actually, you answered it. It was about the intercessory. I know, the saints are able to pray for us. I didn't know if our guardian angels could too. So you answered
absolutely
that question. Yes.
You know, Shelly, I know this sounds like, it was a little childish, but I pray to my guardian angel every day. I still do the guardian angel prayer. You know what, Shelly, when I was young, I still remember this. My mom kneeling us down. I remember me and my brothers. I mean, my sister was still a baby. I think she was too young. But she would kneel behind me and my two brothers, and she would teach us our prayers. Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory be to the Father, Angel of God. Right? Every night. And so I've been praying that angel of God prayer forever. And so even as an adult now in my 50s, I'm still praying that. And it may sound a little childish, but you know what? Our guardian angels are with us our entire life until we get to heaven. So yeah, I'm going to pray for the person who's been with me since I was conceived. Absolutely. And all of us should as well. Oh, Shelly, thank you so much for your great questions. So we want to hear from you on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about angels today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, I have a question here on YouTube. Mike on YouTube. Hello, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Can you please tell me which Bible you recommend? Okay. Well, a little bit off topic, but that's okay. Any Bible that you're going to read, that's the one you should get. Very simple. I mean, if you got a Bible sitting on your shelf, it's not doing you any good, right? I mean, so the one that you're going to read, like really read, and immerse yourself and get close to the God's heart to discover what God is trying to say in our lives. That's the one that you read. Now, the translation, like the New American Bible, that's the one that we use at Mass, at least in the United States. They use the New Jerusalem Bible. In other English-speaking parts of the world, like Australia, they use the New Jerusalem Bible as their main translation for English. We use the New American Bible. In Canada, use the NABRE, I think. It's the revised edition of the New American Bible. The one that I use is the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition, right? That was called the RSVCE. And I use that particular edition because of it's the more accurate with regard to translating of Greek and Hebrew. Although it's not perfect, there's no translation that's actually perfect, but it's pretty good. That's the one that Father Mitch Pacwa recommended that we use when I was studying theology at the graduate level at the University of Dallas. That's the version of the Bible. In fact, I still have that very same Bible to this day. Some of you who have seen me see how beat up. And I have stuff taped together. I have stuff written almost on every page in the margins, underlined, highlighted. You know, I have some Hebrew written in the margins for certain words and things like that. So that Bible's like home to me, you know, and I use it every single day. So whichever one you're going to read, that's the Bible that you should use. But I would recommend either, again, New American Bible, if you want the same kind of translation we have at Mass, if that's familiar to you, or the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition. And there's a couple other editions. I think Word on Fire has an edition of the Bible. Ascension Press has a version of the Bible. Those are all great as well. But we're talking about angels today on Beacon of Truth. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, what does the church teach about who the angels are? Okay, so the angels, the existence of these spiritual, non-corporeal beings means they have no bodies, right? They're just pure spirits that sacred scripture calls angels. That is a fundamental truth of the faith. Okay, that we are not the only beings created by God. We have the angels. Scripture is clear about angels, and we see them all throughout the Word of God, and we see them also in the teachings of the Church Fathers as well. So the witness of Scripture is clear, as well as the unanimity of the sacred tradition. Right. In fact, Saint Augustine says that the angel is the name of their office, not their nature. Right. So if you seek the name of their nature, it is spirit. So there are spiritual beings by nature, but the job that they one of the jobs that they have is angel. Right. And we'll talk about that, because so the church teaches there are nine different choirs of angels. There's angels, archangels, cherubim, seraphim. So cherubim and seraphim, those are the angels that serve the closest to the throne of God. We have thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and virtues. So nine different choirs of angels. Again, angels, archangels, cherubim, seraphim, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and virtues. Right? Now, because they're created by God, they're pure spirit. That means they have an intellect and a will. Right? They are personal and immortal creatures, right? Surpassing in perfection all of us in our humanity, right? And their splendor bears witness to the glory of God, okay? So they have an intelligence and an intellect and a will, just like we do, right? That's why Satan was able to say no to God. He made a choice, and he chose not to serve, right? Not to be with God. All right, we're talking about angels today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Susan on YouTube. I like to think that my guardian angel accompanies me to the sacrament of confession, giving me the courage each time. That's a great thought, because the angels are always with us. So, you know, what you can do is ask for the intercession of your guardian angel to help you remember your sins so you can make a good confession. I think that's a wonderful way to invoke the prayers of our guardian angels. Like on this trip, before we leave every morning to go to the next city on this speaking tour that I'm on, the We Will Serve the Lord tour with the Parousia speakers, you know, we pray to a guardian angel for safe travels. You know, each of our guardian angels to pray for safe travels as we journey to the next city. You know, so that absolutely help your guardian, pray to your guardian angel to help you confess well and to remember what your sins are. That's beautiful. We're talking about angels today on Beacon of Truth. We have Joe calling from Harrisonburg, Virginia, listening on EWTN.com. Joe, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
I'm honored. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And with your spirit.
Thank you. That's 1 Corinthians. So I wanted to ask, well, two things. First, I want to say that when I'm tempted, I always report it as quickly as I can to my guardian angel and to the Holy Spirit. But my question was, with the prayer to St. Michael, the Snare and Prayer, we ask Michael, cast into hell all Satan and all those who evil demons who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. I certainly want to have nothing to do with those. But I've always been concerned about that prayer and its impact on my own soul, the lack of charity in my own soul in making that prayer.
I mean, the fact that he's asking him to cast them into hell, is that that language is problematic? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. That I'm worried because if that would be highly uncharitable for me to make that prayer about any individual, any human being.
Right. Okay. Now, let's first of all, that's a great question, right? And thank you so much for your call today, Joe. Let's take a look at where that comes from. This whole idea of Satan being cast out comes from the scriptures, Joe. Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 7. So most of us know Revelation 12 because of the first two or three verses, which talks about the Blessed Mother, right? A great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, crown of 12 stars around her head. We all know that verse. But if you keep reading, starting at verse 7, it says, now war arose in heaven, Michael and the angels fighting against the dragon. So the dragon is Satan, right? Lucifer, light bearer. And so that name indicates to me that Lucifer is probably a cherubim or a seraphim. He probably was a higher ranked angel than Michael and the other archangels, right? And so there was a battle in heaven. It says the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated and no longer had any place in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown out. That ancient serpent was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, was thrown down to the earth. And his angels were thrown out with him. That word thrown out or cast out is exorkizo in Greek. Exorcism. That means that's what exorcism means, to cast out. Now, where were they thrown down to? They were cast out of heaven to earth. Right? They were cast out of heaven to earth. Right, and it said, now that salvation and power have come, the reign of our God and the authority of his anointed one, for the accuser of our brothers has been cast out, who night and day accused them before God. Right, we're also familiar with that prayer. And they were cast out of heaven, and they were cast out. It says in verse 13, and the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth. Okay, so at this time, there's no hell yet. Right? There's no hell yet. Remember, all those who died in the Old Testament up until the time of Jesus' death went into Sheol, right? The abode of the dead. And when Jesus died and went down in the Holy Saturday and brought those souls with him out of that place. Now, Satan and his demons made a permanent decision to say no to God. Forever, no to God. So the dwelling place for Satan and his demons, and sadly, Joe, for all those who are at the end of their life, choose to say no to God's invitation to love, life, intimacy, and communion, they're going to go to hell. Not because God sends them there or commands them to go there. They choose hell. Hell exists because of our free will decision to say no to God. Hell is the dwelling place for Satan, the demons, and all of us who say no at the end of our life, definitive no to God's invitation to grace and mercy. So sending them to hell, that's where they live. That's simply what we're saying. Does that make sense, Joe? Is Joe still with us?
I'm here. Hello.
Yeah, that explanation, that makes sense, Joe?
So far, yes. And I understand that angels are not subject to time, so their decision is for all time because they are not part of time. So it's one decision made, and that's it.
Yes. Final, definitive decision. Yes. So when they say cast into hell, they're going, send them, they're already there. They're, that's their home. Hell is the state where we exist without God's love by our own free will choice. So you shouldn't feel guilty because they chose to be there.
Thank you. And so for human beings, they are subjects of time, so they can repent. So we should not make that prayer for a human being. We should always pray for their salvation because they can.
Yes. Yes. That's a good point, Joe, because look, we ultimately don't know who's in hell. We don't know. The church doesn't have a list of everybody who's in hell. We don't know. But our job is to pray for those people that die. We pray for the repose of their souls, but we don't know what the final decision was, because when they stand before Jesus, that's when that decision is going to be made, and we're not privy to that. But you're right, Joe. So the St. Michael Archangel, because they already defeated him. We saw that from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, starting at verse 7. We saw that battle take place already, but right, we should not pray for people to go to hell. We should pray for their salvation. Awesome. Awesome question, Joe. Thank you so much for your call. We're talking about angels today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. MG on YouTube. Hello. I have read that angels are light, not body like us, which you have already said. They have no body. Are they made of light? And do they really have wings? Okay. So sometimes angels manifest themselves to us. They're pure spirits. They don't have bodies. They don't have form. But they have they're persons. They have intellect and will. So they're persons, divine persons. Not God, right? Not they don't share the divine nature of God, but they're spiritual beings in that sense, like God. But sometimes they manifest themselves to us so that we can see them. So, for example, when Gabriel came to the Blessed Mother, and by the way, Gabriel in Hebrew means the strength of God, right? Means God's strength or the strength of God. He came to Mary in a human form, or some similar human form, so he can interact with her to pass on God's message. Sometimes they appear to us as light, as in a light form, again, so that we can see them, so that they can pass on the message that God has for us. But they're not made of light. They're pure spirits. But sometimes they manifest themselves to us in a physical form or in a light form, so that we can see them, so that they can give us the message that God wants to give to us. Okay. And do they have wings? No. Again, that's from art. That comes from the human imagination. Think of angels flying above, you know, the cherubim, the seraphim. And we see that artwork in the Sistine Chapel, right? We see that with Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, all the great artists often depict angels with wings, you know, but that's just from artwork. That's not reality, but great question. Well, let's try and get Marianne in. Marianne's calling from Illinois, listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube. Marianne, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, it might sound foolish, but I know we offend God when we sin. But since our guardian angels are guarding us and also inspiring us through the Holy Spirit, do they get offended or do we hurt them when we're not obedient to the Holy Spirit and our holy guardian angels guiding us?
Yes, great question, Marianne. Thank you. So you're right. Sin offends God. Right. But for example, when we sin against someone that we love, it hurts them. and they're hurt by our sin, right? But ultimately, that sin goes against God, right? Yes, we sin against people that we love and we hurt them, and so they're affected by the sin. Guardian angels, in a sense, are not affected because we're not hurting them directly by our sin, but they don't like the fact that we sin, right? So that's why they're saying, please, please ask me for intercession so I can pray to God for you so you will not fall into that temptation of sin again, right? So, oh, great question. What a great topic. We're going to have to return to this in a future show to talk more about angels. We couldn't even fit in all the calls today. All right. Well, tomorrow is Wednesday. You know what that means? Word of God Wednesday. And we're going to focus on Respect Life Sunday. So critical in our country today. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. Until we meet again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.